Today's second reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the other people were praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Then Zechariah saw him. He was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have the joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord of their God. With spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. But now, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did not come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me, and he looked favorably on me and took me away from the disgrace I have endured among my people." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Oh, I always wish I could sing this, but I won't. So this is Christmas, right? Yeah, you can hear it in your head, right? So this is Christmas, right? And looking around this room, it feels like Christmas, but it's not. It's Advent, the time to prepare for Christmas. As we get ready to welcome Jesus and all that Jesus brings, we are invited to prepare our hearts, our homes, and our world for hope. Let us pray. God of hope, peace, joy, and love, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, we pray. Amen. This December, we're veering off of what's called the lectionary, the scriptures that are picked for us. We're veering just a little bit as we celebrate Advent and prepare for Christmas. We will read through the month of December the book of Luke, chapters 1 and 2. We'll hear about the foretelling of and the births of both John and Jesus. Before Jesus was the light of the world, God was here. While Jesus was on earth leading people back to God, God was there. As Jesus died on the cross for our sins, God was with him. And after Jesus' death and resurrection, God is still present. God is still speaking. May we find God in Advent's holy light. We begin today with the foretelling of John, or as many called him later, John the Baptist. Before his birth is the story of his parents. Can you imagine? Before you get the baby, you gotta talk about the mom and dad. Yeah, I know, novel idea. Not all kids would understand it, but it's true. Yeah, right? His parents and the prophecy, the hope of what would happen when he and Jesus entered the world. And we begin today with Zechariah the priest, and his wife Elizabeth. As you heard, Zechariah was a priest who, according to Scripture, was righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. He was a good guy. Zechariah was a good guy. He did everything right, is how I read that. And then following the pattern of annunciations that were foretold in the births in the Old Testament, we hear Zechariah's story. The angel appeared. Zechariah was terrified. The angel called him by name and told him not to be afraid. The angel brought a divine message, said, "Your prayer has been heard." And then, like humans do, Zechariah objected and gave a reason why that shouldn't be. His reason? We're too old. And then there was a sign. For Zechariah, the sign was to become mute until the promise was fulfilled. That pattern is one that's followed throughout the Old Testament when an important birth was happening. We're invited today to think about this story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, an extraordinary event with ordinary people. And before we go any further, I wonder, are you willing to believe? Are you willing to have hope this season? Like the people did a really long time ago, that God would provide a way for hope. I hope so. We say that a lot, don't we? I hope so, right? Right? I hope this season of Christmas isn't just trees and cookies and extra events on your calendar, but it's also a time to hear stories like Zechariah and Elizabeth's story, one that had hope. As I have often read in Scripture, the disposition of a woman's womb takes center stage again in today's story of God's love for us. This time it is that the woman of the story is not just barren, but she's old. Different translations say that in many ways, but what Zechariah said is, we're too old for this, right? And he meant it. There appears to be no hope for her to fulfill what's considered at the time an important role. She was not able to bear a child. And that was a big deal then. For her, this whole challenge fell on her. At least that's the way we read it, that she was the barren one, that her womb was not a room for life. Made me think about the rooms that provide life, that hold life in our world. Made me think about the situations of creation and the destruction all around us and the acts of devotion, dedication that are taking place every minute of every day. That's what I hear when I think of her story. But Luke, the writer of this book, intends to share what he has learned to be facts with his friend Theophilus and believes that this womb is worth mentioning not only to them but to us. That this womb had no room, and it wasn't the one that was going to hold Jesus, but the one that was going to hold the one that prepared the way of the world for Jesus. Think about that. Not the one that we're looking for, but the one that was going to prepare people to receive the one. What an honor to be the one to go and prepare the place for someone else. A task, no doubt, but a great deal of work, too, but it left you in a place of honor. That's John, though, and we're not going to talk about him till next week. Today, we're going to talk about his parents, Zechariah, the one that dared to question the angel. And I wonder if his response was one that really thought that he didn't believe, or if it was just out of astonishment. Did he question the angel out of a lack of hope, or out of a misunderstanding? Or was it kind of like when you say, "No, really," right? Do you ever respond out of a lack of hope? None of you have been mute that I know of, so the angel hasn't come back to you and say, "Okay, well, you can be quiet until we get the right answer and you figure it out," right? But do we ever respond out of a lack of hope? I wonder what you think will happen with your life. Maybe you're one who has it all mapped out, and if so, God bless you, right? You figured out, you know, exactly where you want to live and who you want to live with and what you want to do there and maybe your career, and maybe you have it figured out and you've made a path. I love those people who like stepped into to college, right, and said, I'm going to be here for 3.5 years and I'm going to study this and I'm going to have it done and take these classes in this order, and they did it. There are people out there who can do that. Then there's people like me who show up and say, I'm going to do this. I grabbed all the papers in the business, the admin building, and there was a sheet for each major. And I laid them all out on the floor, and I looked at what classes fit on all of them. Those are the classes I took. I didn't have to make my decision until I kept narrowing down those sheets of paper, right? There's different ways to map out your life. And there are people who can do it and who know just what they're looking for. They know what their roles are. But I'm wondering if in that time of planning, in your own preparation, if you're willing to serve in a way that means that sometimes you're going to have to wait for the dice to roll in your favor so that you may stand before God. That's what happened to Zechariah. You know, he was a priest, but there were so many priests, they had like way, way, way too many. And so they didn't all get to do the jobs of the church, of the temple. And so he had to wait for the dice to be cast or his lot to be called for his turn to do that amazing job. And when that happened, he went into the sanctuary, into the Holy of Holies, and instead of just doing the task that he thought he was there to do, an angel came and told him he was having a baby. Really? I wonder if he thought about, did this happen to everyone else who came in here? Right? Can you imagine? And then out of his astonishment, his reply yields him mute. He goes home and tries to tell his wife, and we see how that went, right? Yeah. He was only able to receive that word and to recognize that the angel was the angel because he knew the word of God. Are you prepared with the how-tos and the what-fors, so that if you are called to fill a vital role, that you will have the knowledge enough to do so? Or will you recognize your need for knowing God better in that moment and then possibly miss out on a great opportunity? With one holiday freshly tucked and neatly behind most of us, maybe still in containers in your fridge, that's okay, right? But it's a good time for us to think about our preparations or our lack thereof. What did you have to do to be ready to sit at that big Thanksgiving table, right? And did you get it all done? And did anyone notice that you didn't clean all the corners, right? Right? Or that you forgot that one salad in the fridge? Has that ever happened to you? Oh, it's terrible. You work so hard and then you forget it. Yeah. I think about that Thanksgiving or any time that we prepare for a big event, what we have to do to be ready to sit at that table. My mom always said, do the things that you can't do in front of anyone else first, like take a shower and get dressed. No one can do that for you, right? And then do the other things. And if you're still doing them when the people get there, that's okay. I think Advent's kind of like that. It's time to get ready for this big thing. And we think of the big thing as Christmas, right? But I think it's also a time for us to consider how we behave as Christians on this earth and to think about our own call stories and our own active missional hearts and to kind of sift through our own expectations to find the ones that align with God and God's teachings. I think we have much to look forward to. I believe we do. But I think we have to do it in light of our own faith and our own understanding, and that excitement will be even bigger and better if we orient ourselves towards God. I want to look forward with excitement to putting up the tree. And it's really fun when I know that I have enough in the fridge. But what about those times when things don't feel as lush and full? What about when the picture in our minds doesn't feel as coordinated? Or like Carol reminded us last week, when the holidays feel anything but ho, 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 right? In order for us to see Advent's holy light, we have to hear and believe the Zechariah and Elizabeth story. that from the temple where he left with a promise that silenced his lips, that he went home to his wife and his partner, his other half. After he had served God, he returned home, and it's there that the miracle took place. Not in a fancy place, but in their home, the Spirit met them, and their prayer was answered. Friends, what is your prayer this season? Where do you need Advent's holy light to shine? What needs to be illuminated in or around so that you will believe? That's a real question. And it's one that I can't answer for you. Sometimes I can't even answer it for myself. Sometimes I feel like there's no reason to have hope. When I see that big pile of dishes or my list of to-dos or the reminder of all the things I haven't done, sometimes it leaves me feeling desperate. And my voice calls out in disbelief or unsettled ways with a plea for a sign or help. That something will get better. That loving God is not only what I'm called to do, but will be life-giving as well. And I think that's when hope shows up. In our times of desperation, struggle, or darkness, when the bleak midwinter seems to moan around us, or the sound of a drummer boy just won't quit. I think that's when hope shows up. Advent's holy light shines in those moments. And if we know it, we can see it. If we know it, we can recognize it. Therefore, I encourage you as part of our preparations this year to not only prepare your heart and your homes, but to prepare your minds as well with the knowledge of God, to dig into the scriptures and to know the stories of God. We have to see where the light has shone in the past to know how to look for it again. And we have to never stop searching. Friends, I pray that this Advent season you will be able to respond with joy, to celebrate with your praises, and to be open to what God is calling us to do, and that you would be willing to believe. As you seek this Advent, may you find Advent's holy light, and may it shine with hope within you and around you, this day and always. Amen.